So when the Pope came to Washington, D.C. a couple years ago, there was a really beautiful moment that I had in the upstairs chapel at our seminary. And for those of you who don't know, the seminary I go to is right across the street from the Basilica in Washington. And so I was sitting there praying quietly, and all of a sudden I hear all these bells start ringing. Like, they're just going crazy. And at first, I was like, what's going on? What time is it? Is it some special time of the day? Is there a special prayer service going on? Like, what is happening? And then, like a ton of bricks, it hit me that that we were celebrating that the Pope's jet had landed in the United States. And nobody told me that. Nobody explained that that's what those bells meant. It just, the symbolism was so powerful that that our pastor, our shepherd, had landed, that he was here with us for a visit. And it was really cool. I just kind of thanked God for that moment, and it was very powerful. But I think sometimes we can think of the Pope more as a CEO or like a manager than a shepherd, than a pastor. Sometimes we think that the Pope is ultimately in charge, and that might make us excited at the prospect of things that we really don't like about the church changing or teachings changing. Or it might scare us because we think, oh, well, the Pope could do this or the Pope could change that. And we get nervous and we start sweating and, you know, our faith suddenly dissipates. But ultimately, like, the Pope is a sign of unity in the Holy Spirit, that the church is one and that we have one shepherd. Ultimately, Jesus is our one shepherd, and the Pope is there to kind of represent him and point back to him always. I think sometimes when we kind of want the church to do this or that, or we want this teaching to change or that teaching to be developed or evolved, as some people might say, what we're really asking for is exactly what St. Peter himself, the first pope, is warning against. In our first reading today, he says, I exhort the presbyters among you as a fellow presbyter and witness to the sufferings of Christ and one who has a share in the glory to be revealed. Tend the flock of God in your midst, overseeing not by constraint but willingly, as God would have it. And then he goes on to say, do not lord it over those assigned to you, but be examples to the flock. When we ask, when we see on the news that, like, wow, maybe Pope Francis is going to, you know, give the thumbs up on gay marriage, or maybe Pope Francis is going to finally update the church teaching on contraception. What we're asking, ultimately, is for the Pope, a mere man, to lord it over our faith, which is dangerous, which is not ultimately what our faith rests on. Listen to Jesus' question in our gospel this morning. He says, who do people say that I am? You know, you could read that like, What's the world asking for? What would the world like the church to do? And we could probably have some really good answers. We could come up with some things that maybe the world would really like the church to be doing differently. But then Jesus changes the question. He says, but who do you say that I am? And as the church, as the representative of the church, Peter stands up and he says, you are the Christ. You are the Son of God. And that did not come from him. That did not come up from his opinions on who Jesus was. That didn't come from his own musings, his own theological explorations. That was straight from the Father. That was straight from God. And Jesus even says, he's like, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, Peter. And for that reason, I'm going to make you the rock of the church. I'm going to make you the foundation upon which all of it's built, so that for all time, we can see that the church is not built on mere opinion. It's not built on mere theological openness. It's built on the revealed truths of God. And that's kind of what this feast today, the Feast of the Chair of St. Peter, is celebrating, that our faith is ultimately not in mortals, in frail human beings, in popes and bishops and priests. It's ultimately in God, who will always teach us what's good for us. We have confidence, therefore. We have confidence that all of the church, in union with the Pope, teaches eternal truths. Eternal truths that are rooted in the eternal truth, who is Jesus. That's what our faith rests on, ultimately. So I guess as we contemplate the role of the Pope in our lives, let's just return to the source that we don't have faith in a human being. We don't have faith in one person. We have faith in the Holy Spirit, who is guiding the church, who's filling each one of us, and is guiding us into all truth.